Actually, why don't you just tell us a little bit about Larry Organ and yourself and what your personal side does?
Sure. Larry Organ, 47 years old, born in Toronto, Canada, moved to the U.S. 22 years ago now, and to start my own business, and started up in the scholarship search business, a business called Student Services, which eventually became, we have a product called Financial Aid Search Through the Web, which became FastWeb, and was sold to Monster in 1998. Loved the Monster model so much, I decided to see if I could improve upon it, then started Jobs Online, which eventually actually grew to a bigger size than Monster from a traffic point of view, and our strategy was a little different. Whereas Monster charged employers, we made it free for the job seeker. We made it free for the job seeker and the employer, so more of both we thought would come. And again, the strategy was a back-end data model where we found companies to go out and buy the data, both on the job seeker and employer site. So every time someone came to the site and entered information, it was pre-sold, and that was the company's revenue model.
So actually, that's an interesting point there, and we should go back and talk a little bit more about the personal side. But that model, after you did that, you obviously did drive a lot of traffic, and it went pretty well. Did you ever get any kind of backlash from consumers as to having their data sold?
Absolutely not. I can't say that I'm a pioneer in selling data because data's been around for a lot longer than we have, at least the buying, selling, manipulating the data. When someone came into jobs online, we would tell them the quid pro quo using the services that we are going to sell your the personal information you give us. And to the extent that someone saw the value in the services that we were providing, they had no issue with it. For employers, it was like a bonanza because a Monster typically, especially back in the late 90s, was primarily used by mid-sized to larger employers and wasn't really accessible, if you will, to a smaller company, you know, the 50 employees and fewer, because they really couldn't afford to recruit that way. And by making it free, we had local bar owners coming and listing job open bar positions on Jobs Online. And they knew when they signed up, we told people that we were selling the information that we were capturing. And, you know, my biggest client back then was Donnelly, who was trying to build a business database. And they told me that the most difficult thing that they had to capture was square footage of plant.
Right. I mean, talk about that. Maybe you could go and get that example. That's a real good example.
Sure. So I'll go back to my example of a bar owner would come and list information about the job that he was trying to fill. We would ask him, how many square feet is your bar? And when someone would fill that in, that information was uploaded to Donnelly, who would pay us for that information. So the employer got what he wanted. He or she wanted. They got people applying for their jobs, and it was free. The job seeker got what they wanted. They found employers they couldn't otherwise find for Monster. And we got what we wanted as a company because we were making revenue off of both of them.
And so an employer would come along and fill in the size of the plant floor, and that wouldn't have any relevance to the job application process, but that was key lead generation data for Donnelly, so that then became worth a lot as per lead.
That's exactly how it worked. So we went to Donnelly and others and said, okay, what information are you trying to capture? And we told employers that for them to post their jobs for free on the site, they had to give us this information along with the job they're trying to fill.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Let's backtrack a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about Larry Organ. I mean, you grew up.
Okay, so after Jobs Online night, when we sold Jobs Online to Axiom because of all the data we captured in the database and the sales channels that we were selling through, and then they took the name and sold it to Monster. So if you type in Jobs Online, they'll get to Monster, but all the data still resides with folks at Axiom. After that, started a company called Custom Offers, and I remember it was April of 2001. In January of 2002, sold it to Mosaic. They filed for bankruptcy 11 months later, and we, the employees, bought the company back in 2003 and renamed the consumer base, and we've been going ever since. So that's a short history of the past 22 years.
Right. And you married kids?
Married four kids, age ranging from 8 to 15, and live in a suburb of Chicago called Winnetka.
Right. And I also remember you mentioned you'd like to also vacation in the Caribbean.
Vacation in the Caribbean, and also vacation these days more in Canada because we're in a little resort north of Montreal where there's both a lake and a mountain. And my kids have come to love this area here, so we spend as much time as we can in the summer. And during the school year, it's back to Chicago for school.
Okay. So talking about the companies you built, I mean, Jobs Online, you were doing all the data driving as well as selling yourselves. Would it be fair to say, and maybe we should go into a deeper understanding of what ConsumerBet does, but would it be fair to say that you stepped away from driving most of the data now and you're more focused on aggregating the data and just adding some value to it as well?
Actually, not fair at all. We're probably more active today in marketing our various websites because the websites are what fuels our data sales.
Right. And, maybe you want to take a step back then and just explain quickly what ConsumerBet is, how big it is, the kind of stuff you're doing, how many employees, just like a sound button.
With ConsumerBet today, we are a three-channel business, if you will. Channel number one is we are a digital agency where we provide online marketing digital agency services to clients like Monster.com, Military.com, and others, where we will either do their banner ad buys for them or their search engine buys for them on a cost-plus basis. So we have been doing that since 2002, and we're fairly good at it, using all the tools that are commercially available. The second channel in our business is the website channel. We own and operate about 10 different websites, maybe a few more, because of different faces of different sites. And those websites, what they all have in common is they're all transactional websites where they make money by selling leads, typically. And but the byproduct of those is data, which all goes into our database, which is the third channel in our business. And the real core of our business, if you will, is we are in the data business, where we are an original data supplier to folks, InfoUSA, Equifax, Experian, RL Polk, and others. And we also slice and dice the database and sell that direct to companies throughout the country who are interested in one piece of data or another. As far as the company goes, we are approximately 40 people. We're based in Chicago, and we have and are continuing to set up sales people in different cities throughout the country, so we can do a better job at going direct by being a part of local markets.
I was looking at your press releases just before this call, and it looks like you've been hiring quite a lot lately.
We have been hiring quite a lot, and before the end of the year, we hope to hire. Our plan is to hire 2 new sales reps per month, so our ambition for this year is to get 24 new experienced data sales reps in the company. So far, we're pretty much on target with a run rate of hiring 2 a month, and cities are important to us that we haven't filled yet. We're looking for someone in Denver. We're looking for someone in Los Angeles. We've just hired someone in San Francisco. We're about to see that. And we've hired someone recently in Atlanta, so that's been pretty good to us. Philadelphia, we're still looking, so there's a lot of ground yet to cover, but we are doing a pretty good job hiring so far.
Cool. Congrats.
Thank you.
So looking over some of the products and stuff that you have, so you're out there buying a lot of media. Are you then, you're working with an advertiser buying media for a particular advertiser?
We're buying media for our clients. We're sort of agnostic as to what we buy for our clients. When the folks at Monster come to us and tell us that they need their acquisition cost per new resume capture to be X, then we may do a spend on Google, we may do it on Yahoo, we may do it on Meva, we may go to a banner network. Our goal is really to bring in our clients are, for the most part, all direct response clients. They understand what their acquisition costs per sale or per resume or whatever their target is, and it's up to us to go out and get it. And it's that expertise that's lent itself fairly nicely to the website channel of our business, because the same skill set that we use to buy traffic for our clients, we also use it to buy for our own proprietary websites as well.
Okay, so let's say, some of the guys listening to this call have offers around eBay, how to make money on eBay. If one of those guys wants to increase the volume, is that something they can bring to you?
Probably not. It's a great business. Having money on eBay, and there's tens of thousands of people up there doing it. A typical client for us is someone who, with a minimum monthly spend of $10,000, number one. Number two, as much as we love branding business, our clients tend to be very focused on understanding their metrics and communicating things to us. And then we go out and we put together a marketing plan and execute that on a cost-plus basis. Typically, we'll find catalogers understand our metrics very well. I'm trying to think of other examples of people that we work with.
These are guys that are currently spending about $5 million a month on media.
Pardon me?
These are guys that are currently spending about $5 million a month on media.
Well, I'm not sure the company's total spend is. I know we won't take a client who's spending less than $10,000 a month through us. Mm-hmm. And so because of the work we do to set up any account and to get going, someone who's in the business of testing doing a $1,000 spend for a test is probably not going to be the client that we could work with. We just couldn't make an economic work for us or them.
I mean, for these guys, that sort of money is not an issue. It's more about can you get volume.
That's exactly it. And so that's where we tend to focus. Also, the value of our company is determined by the quality of our clients. And so we are looking for more blue chip clients, because our end goal, like with my past companies, is to build up something very nice and then sell it. And my experience has always been that buyers will look at certainly revenue, certainly profitability, but very important as well is the quality of who your clients are.
And so you're looking for the brand name type clients.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Anything else you want to talk about on the media buying aspect or that side of the business that's interesting?
The media buying side of our business is something, like I said, I think we do it well, but we are a commodity because we use tools that are commercially available to everyone. It's part art, part science. I think that we're as good as anyone as the art part of it, the science part of it. We have tools to help us be very good. But it's the more exciting part of our business, frankly, is what happens in channel number 3, which is where the data comes from.
Right. One last question just on the media side. Are you tracking clicks and doing any kind of behavioral stuff there?
It really depends on what our client is asking us for. At the end of the day, what we care about is acquisition cost per lead or acquisition cost per sale. And so while we do click tracking, if someone requests it's sort of like, sort of like doing an email campaign where people ask you to track opens. And our response is typically, why? What's it going to tell you? And what you really care about at the end of the day is how much it costs you to make that sale. And whether you got 1% or 10% opens, if we track back to your target acquisition cost per sale made, the number of opens doesn't really matter. All the same is true for number of clicks. it's a most important metric to a sophisticated buyer is what it's costing them to make a sale.
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say you're generating leads, you're generating job seeker leads for Monster.
Yes.
And so you're driving a fair amount of volume. But let's say you're going to work with a high traffic website. Let's say MySpace, for example.
Sure.
And you do a side deal with MySpace where as users click on the ads for Monster, you're getting that profile data, like a basic profile, let's say just name and email address on those users and the fact that they've clicked. That data, they're not as valuable as a full lead that has been filled in by a user on a Monster.com site. However, they still represent an interest and there's some data there. Are you taking that sort of data as well, or have you put together deals like that?
Well, you're talking about different programs. There's, you know, if you're talking about strictly clicks, you know, that would be a brand program where how many eyeballs have seen my site or my logo, my whatever. That would be an important metric. What you're talking right now though is about capturing a pre-lead where instead of capturing an entire resume, they're capturing a name, perhaps an email address so they can remarket to it.
Exactly.
And then you try doing upsell from there. That's more of a co-reg program where you're capturing partial interest and then trying to upsell from there. And so from that point, you're sure that sort of information is important. But just from a marketing point of view, I don't believe people are really interested in knowing how many people have clicked if it's not really relevant to what their final acquisition cost per sale need is.
Alright, okay. Okay, fair enough. So let's move on. The agency side. I guess this is the media buying at the agency side, or is that?
That is correct. That's them. It's the website side and it's the data side.
So maybe the website one is interesting. You obviously have a bunch of websites, and I saw one talk about one of your press releases, which is email-info.com.
Email, that's not one of ours.
It might be
email-lookup.com.
Email-lookup.com, yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
So I've noticed you've got a couple of these sites, and you talk about these sites as they're obviously important for the company. The Alexa ranks on them all seem to be around the 1.5 million marks, indicating not necessarily tons of traffic. Or is there a lot of traffic that we don't know about?
You've chosen the one site that's atypical of the rest of what we do. Email-lookup.com, all that really is that's a joint venture with the folks at whitepages.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to whitepages.com, you'll see that the Alexa rankings are much higher. I actually produce Quantcast these days in Alexa, but they're both pretty good. And what we've done is we have a database of 80 million consumers. We put that database available online for someone to do a lookup email address by first name, last name, and state. And that site is supported by banner advertising. We make no effort to market the site. The only reason we came up with the technology was to support the folks at W3 who own whitepages.com. And for them, it's a much bigger driver of revenue and traffic. So it was sort of a freebie we threw out there. A typical site for us, except for that one site, is a transactional site like consumerwireless.us, for example, which is the front end of Infonic, where we sell cell phone applications. So someone responds to one of our affiliates or one of our marketing efforts and comes in and buys a cell phone through that site. We wind up selling the application, all applications, whether they're approved or not, to Infonic. And we get the resulting data captured and get a transaction fee for having originated that sale. That's more typical of the websites we have.
And so as an example of this site, is this site generating a lot of traffic? Or these other sites that you have, do they generate a lot of traffic, or is it small targeted traffic that becomes worth a lot?
Email lookup, let this count out for a moment because it's just sort of sitting out there. Consumer wireless, we have targets for all of our traffic pursuant to the data we're trying to capture that month. And for us, it's really data sales drive how much traffic we need. And to a certain extent, we even drive how we select which websites to promote. If we have I may have mentioned the last time we had a conversation, is the folks at Info USA took their compiled database and what we're looking for as many people as they could to market that had an interest in travel. And so we don't have a travel website at the time, but we had to come up with a way of finding out who in the web is interested in travel. So we used one of our sites called Reports 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure we talked about that, but that's a joint measure we have with Yahoo, where Yahoo's biggest pain, as you can imagine, is competing with Google for clicks because they both have about the same advertisers and they both get their compensation on a per-click basis. Google had a lot more natural traffic, and Yahoo, to compete, has to find different ways to distribute. So one of the ways they do it is through us, through email deployed under the Reports 2007 brand. So we'll send out email saying, hey, you think you can travel? Before you shop, you know, just do some comparison. Here's three different travel offers. And in that email, it will list the three highest paying cost per click offers on Yahoo at that moment in time. So if I send you email right now and you open it either an hour from now or 10 hours from now, each time you open it, you'll see different results. And when someone clicks on any one of those offers, it goes to Yahoo's client, but also pings our database and says that this person at that moment in time clicked on a travel offer, and that information is uploaded real time to our database for sale. This, for example, is how we gave the folks at Info USA, we turned their compiled database into a specific travel offer, so now they can sell the data instead of for $35 a thousand compiled for $65 a thousand because of a specific niche database.
That's just behavioral click tracking. So people click on it, they're interested in travel offers.
That is correct. And so that's sort of our backfill site that allows us to come up this article is just telling you how we select which site that we're going to market the most. And if we're looking for specific clicks in this that we don't have from other sites, like Zone Interest and Telco, for example, we'll focus more on the reports 2007, where we can, through our partnership with Yahoo, get a tremendous number of clicks in a certain discipline.
Is that an open thing that anyone can apply for, doing email drops for click ads on Yahoo, or is that something you had to actually especially work with them to set up?
I think there's a very small number of us who are actually out there doing it, and there's a tremendously long application process, and they certainly want to vet who's good, who's not good, how you're deploying your email. They're very concerned about privacy issues, how you take care of your subscribers and privacy complaints and the rest of it. So I don't know specifically what who they're looking for and how many people they have. I know that there's not a lot of us out there doing it.
All right.
Now, on a website, I think, and touching on the digital agent side for a second, I know that I may have told in our last conversation that for about 3 years we were doing search engine marketing for the different friend finder companies. And we looked at that space. We thought doing it about a year ago, and we looked at that space and decided that we wanted to not get in the data business, but we wanted to use dating as a way of capturing a tremendous amount of data that we could throw over to our database. And so we have started a dating site somewhat akin to the friend finder model. But the difference is that we are, because I believe this is the future of our business, the future, quite frankly, of data, we have started to capture cell phone numbers in a privacy-compliant way, although no standard yet exists for how you're supposed to capture cell phone numbers because there's been no legislation on it. But we're asking people if we can communicate with them through their cell phones, and to the extent that they say yes, it also allows us to send commercial messages to those same people based on all the same selection criteria that we currently have in the consumer-based database. So if you think of it, someone can sign up for a dating site now, and if someone else expresses interest in them, our system will send them a text message saying, someone else is interested, you can come back to the website and check out their email. Since we have that information and we've asked them if we could send commercial solicitations to it, if this is a 35-year-old mom living in the suburbs of Los Angeles with two kids in university education, if that's, for example, I'm just making myself an example, Domino's Target, we can send that same person at 5:30 p.m. on Monday afternoon a text message saying, by the way, your local Domino's pizza at such and such an address, here's a phone number, call them right now for $5 off. So this is, in our opinion, A, the future, B, it's the way that people will target their advertising on, for the next few years. You cannot get better targeted than getting someone on their cell phone with a text message.
So have you actually been sending out SMSs on behalf of clients now?
We are. Right now we're building a database, and we're finding about 25% of the people that use the site are giving us their cell phone numbers. We don't want to, we're taking orders, we don't want to start deploying, however, until probably towards November. And we have decent saturation of phone numbers, so we can make a campaign worthwhile.
So then the question is, and obviously it's a fascinating idea, and that sounds value-added in the case of the Domino certificate. People get riled up enough today about spam, and obviously this has got to come up every time you have a conversation about this. Maybe not when you're talking to advertisers, but when you're talking to other people, how do you think consumers are going to respond to it? I mean, can you do it in enough of a value-driven way where people won't get totally riled up about?
Well, number one, there's a law. Number two, there's a reasonable person theory. In the law specifically, there's no law right now that tells you can't do it because it's uncharted water, if you will. So the way we are doing it is when people are signing up for the dating site, we say, how do you want to be contacted by email or by cell phone? And so I'm telling you right now, 25% of people say they want to be contacted by text message on their cell phone. We then tell those people that, our signing up here is that we are going to send you commercial messages, so on and so forth. And, we then send a text message to them saying, you know, I must go with a code, you know, I must go back to the site, enter this code to prove it's really you. So what we're trying to do is prevent against people who would put their friend's phone number and just debug them, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, we've invented, if you will, a double opt-in process for sending text messages. That's how we sort of cover the law, because eventually we'll do legislation that says you have to do something similar to that, I believe, or maybe less egregious. But we're trying to be as good corporate citizens as we possibly can be. And there's a practical side of it. If we send people 5 messages a day, if I got 5 text messages a day from a commercial advertiser, I'd be up in arms. But if we limit it to once every couple of days, and it's useful. If I am that 35-year-old mom and it's 5:30 and it's Monday and someone says there's a coupon for Domino's, I'd be pretty happy about that, quite frankly.
Mm.
So our job, we have found, we're driven by revenue, by profitability. We're finding that for compiled data, the average guy is going to spend about $35 a thousand for data. For targeted, it's going to be closer to 60 to 80, depends on what type of target data it is. We are posting people $250 per thousand for targeted text messages, and nobody's batting an eye. So we think that, again, you can afford to send a lot less, have it be more profitable, if you will, and I think it's better for the advertiser, better for the consumer.
Do you do this on a CPM basis and not on a CPA basis?
We don't do anything on CPA at all.
Oh, really?
We're 100% CPM shop, unless we're doing search engine marketing for someone in CPC.
Because in this instance, it almost could be on a CPA basis of getting a pizza delivered, which might even be able to increase revenues.
You're absolutely right. We, again, if you look at the evolution of the web, it's, everybody and his brother was in the CPA business, and people were making millions and millions of dollars as the industry got a little more sophisticated. People, the risk, if you will, has shifted from the advertiser, away from the mailer to the advertiser. In other words, if they don't understand their own metrics, they can't afford to do a CPM mailing. I do believe that CPA still lends itself to a lot of the fly-by-nighters out there, and I realize it's the whole industry, but we have not done any CPA basis, certainly not aware of, or with any scale, in the past 3-4 years.
Right.
Would you consider jobs online? That was a CPA type offer, wasn't it? I mean, was that broken out to networks?
Oh, it was a huge CPA offer. And by the way, we will buy the CPA basis if we can, because again, it takes all the risk out of advertising. Having said that, you have to keep in mind the times. This was back in 1999 and 2000 around then. The landscape was very different from what it is today. You know, a lot of the companies that we work with today wouldn't even consider having done business on the web 7 or 8 years ago. And 10 years ago, check with Network Solutions. I'm not sure that American Airlines had a website 10 years ago.
Yes.
So it's we have seen the web is almost like dog years. You know, in the last 10 years, we've probably seen 100 years of growth, and it's the changes that we're seeing every day. But it's technology that allows transactions you couldn't even have considered, you know, five, six, 7 years ago. Some of the tracking that we do right now, I think is so sophisticated, and computers weren't fast enough, you know, 10 years ago to track it. Technology probably didn't exist 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, some of the things that are currently going on in the web.
Would you say it's a better environment to make money today or back then?
It depends for whom. I think it's much bigger today than it was yesterday. I think that, it's almost like a sliding scale. 10 years ago, it was absolutely positively the Wild West, where almost anything went. There were very few rules to regulate it, and anyone with a clever idea who was first in the market could make some pretty decent money. Today, you're seeing a lot more traditional advertising, and you're seeing a lot of budgets being shifted from the traditional branding to direct response, and that's what the web's all about. I mean, there's some branding that goes on there, but not much. So while there's more money in there today than there was yesterday, I believe the money in it today is more sophisticated than it's been in the past. And so while there's opportunity to gouge more 5 years ago than there is today, I think that the bigger, more sophisticated players are taking the lion's share of the business out there today. I mean, 24/7, I think, has a great service, and as does Zito, by the way, who just interviewed a couple weeks ago. And Zito could not have existed 10 years ago. There wasn't the formal network set up. What makes them work today is the sophistication of the market and standardizing on the formats and all the rest, which we didn't have 5 or 10 years ago.
It would seem to me like a data guy like you in the past could have done some tremendous stuff, given that it was the Wild West.
I tell people the story of how in I won't name the clients, but one of the big office store chains, they came to us in, I want to say it was 2001. I could be off by a year, but I think it was 2001. And they wanted to capture names of people interested in receiving their offline magazine. And so on a co-read basis, in other words, someone who signed up for jobs online already, all they had to do was pre-select a little button that says, send me your office supply catalog. Mm-hmm. They paid us about a piece, and they wanted a million of them. So we got a $1 million order for a million co-reds. That same co-reds today is probably worth 3 to 5 cents,
right.
I'm guessing.
Would it pre-check or not pre-check?
My memory says it was pre-checked, but I'm not positive, to be quite honest.
Right.
But another big difference is from today, most of what we were doing was pre-selected, so I'll say probably once that. Another big difference is the scrubbing that happens today versus there was no such thing as scrubbing, 6-7 years ago. It just wasn't part of our landscape back then. So there was some huge deals out there, and a lot of people made a lot of money that no longer exists today. But again, the same story. If it came along, did some today in a co-reg program, they'd be paying a lot less. And frankly, they're probably doing a lot more because it would work a lot better when you're buying your lease for 5 cents as opposed to a buck.
Right.
And you're describing it against what you currently have, and you can even be a little more sophisticated and say, I'm only looking for people who meet certain criteria because those are my typical buyers. So I think it's something better. I think that's what's driving more money to the web as people get to use it in a more sophisticated way as a tool to capture information.
And being more real rather than just ripping people off.
Yeah, I don't think jobs online was ripping the company off, 6-7 years ago. I think that's just the way, those are the basis that the web was commanding. No one really understood what value was, and they were all getting a lot better at understanding what it's nothing more than another channel.
Right. I wasn't suggesting that you guys were doing that, but just in general,
No, I didn't take it as that. But look at Scott Richter and CPA Empire. You know, he had a great idea, and he was in the CPA business, and he really understood how to make that thing hunt. And that same business model just doesn't work today.
Mm.
He's still in business, but it's very different from what his business was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, sure. So talking about the co-reg and jobs online thing, maybe we should lead into some of your behavioral targeting or data buying and then adding value and then selling. You want to talk about that? Maybe how you're always interested in buying data, is that correct?
We're always interested in buying data, but we will fulfill orders and to build our database. But we have found, as we grow as a company, that the best data that we can get is data we generate ourselves. We have found through some sources that we buy data that if they're selling to us, they're selling to 100 other people as well. And so a lot of the data that you tend to buy will be higher data. Not that it doesn't have its uses. And a great use, for example, of acquired data, as long as it's done on in a privacy-compliant way, is for email append. And I'm trying to think, we just did a very large email append for, it'll come to me in a second. Who's all else you can buy? It's a big name, GNC.
Mm-hmm.
GNC has a database of, I don't know how many tens of millions of clients that they want to contact through email. And so, instead of sending out catalogs, because, you know, the cost to send out a catalog, maybe a buck, whereas the cost to send an email is, you know, a couple cents. And so we just did an email append, for them, where we were able to match over a million of their clients with an email address, and now they're contacting those people by email, and I assume they're enjoying some success at it. That's a typical application of data, where it doesn't really matter if you have behavioral information or not, as long as you can specifically match back an individual name and postal address to an email address. And selling appends, by the way, is probably one of the largest application of our data. Having said that, we work with HSBC, who's interested in what their model is. They want to make sure every man, woman, child, I should say child, every man and woman has an HSBC credit card in this country. And so what they are doing is they are contacting people by phone to the extent they're not on the FTC's do not call list. We present to them with a solution saying that we can, if you have someone's postal address, we can give you their email address. And so what you should do is select those people on the do not call list so you can then target them by email. And they came to us, and that's been, we have met their acquisition cost per application, and that's been a very successful program for us. We have even better results when we can score that person by what they've done on the web, for example, have they been on a credit card site in the past 36 or 90 days. So that's an application of some of the behavioral data we have in combination with an email append.
So would it be an accurate statement to make that most of your business is driven around serving the direct response needs of blue-chip advertisers using clever direct response marketing techniques on the web and offline?
You're 100% correct, and the only thing I'd add to it is we consider ourselves to be in the solution providing business, where, again, an HSBC comes to us, they come to us looking for data for an email append. We actually came to them, didn't come to us, but we went to them and said, tell us what your pain is. And they said their pain is they want every man and woman to have one of the credit cards, but there's I think 100 million people today on FTC's do not call list,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get through to those people. Did we have any solutions for them? And we said, hey, do we have a solution? And that's how we got into the email append business with HSBC. You know, I can tell you we're working now with one of the large car companies here in the U.S. who spends a tremendous amount of money recruiting people to do survey for them. And that's how they decide what model changes they want to make with their cars based on survey data. And so we're showing them how they can lower the cost of capturing people who will fill up their surveys by acquiring those people online as opposed to doing it through the traditional telephone methods. And again, it's a solution that we can provide based on the data that we captured.
So it seems like the stuff that you're doing with data SaaS, and particularly to the blue chip guys that can afford to spend a fair amount of money on this stuff, that viral marketing would be a perfect addition to it. I mean, you must have seen the telefriend type invites where you get an invite to join LinkedIn or any one of these other sorts of sites.
That's a very successful example of that, yes.
Yeah.
That's something that someone may do on their own. We actually do telefriend on some of our different sites as well, but it's not a service that we'll provide for a client. I mean, another example of a client that we are, and this really crosses all three areas of three channels of our business. But there is a company out there based in Miami, and their business, I'd like to tell you their name, but I get their permission first. But what they do is when you sign for Bank of America credit card,
mm-hmm.
and then you receive an offer from Bank of America for credit insurance or whatever they send out, it's actually not Bank of America doing it. It's they've hired this company to do it for them, and they work on a rev share basis. We are, with the company now, everything they've done up to now is offline. We are actually creating websites to support their various offers, and we are getting Bank of America, believe it or not, does not have these people's email addresses. So we're doing email append to capture the email addresses. We'll send out email to drive these Bank of America clients to a specific website to allow them to give them the option of doing this online as opposed to through the mail. And so we're creating this whole channel using the technology we have available to us and our ability to create this website as well as the data backend to convert their offline data to online data.
So you put the whole process of driving traffic all the way through to selling the data, or do you prefer to work partway through the process where someone else is driving the traffic and then you're doing some value add on the data and then working with the client?
honestly. I prefer just work with in the data part of A because I believe that's what we're best at. And it's just something that we, you know, when you look at the agency side of the business, and I'm not the only CEO of an agency who will tell you this, the reason we may love the business, but we hate the margins. Typically, the agency business is 15-20% margin, and it's you can't spend the amount of time you'd like on any one client based on the amount you're being paid. And if you try to charge more, then they're going to give business to someone else. So how do you dedicate your best resources to providing a solution to someone on the digital agency side unless you want to lose money? So we keep that part of the business going because it's a necessary spoke in the wheel to drive our entire business model. Having said that, when we generate data from our own websites, which are typically, we like keep those at 50% margin, but when we generate data, the byproduct of those websites is the data that we're putting into our database, then, those sales are 100% margin. And, so it makes it allows us the bandwidth to really dedicate the resources necessary to make sure the solution that we are providing is the best of all. And we also have a competitive advantage over other companies out there who are providing a data solution but don't own the data because they can't be as flexible as we can be. And frankly, the cost structure is very different. Even when we provide data to Equifax, for example, it's some of that data is provided on a royalty basis. So they make a sale. They wind up giving 50% of that sale to us for having provided data. When we're bidding against that same client, to the extent that we're using our own data and only our data, we can afford to buy a sale, if you will, by going lower because we don't have any preset minimums that we need to charge, like people who are selling data that they don't specifically own.
So it makes it more competitive.
That makes it more competitive, and so we feel that on the data side of our business, not only do we know what we're doing, we do it very well, but we have a price advantage based on the fact that we own the data that we're selling.
Fair enough. Did you see in the news just yesterday Blue Lithium was sold?
What sold?
Blue Lithium. Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with him, and I did not know they were sold.
$300 million acquisition to Yahoo.
Interesting. I'll have to read about that.
And obviously it makes sense for Yahoo because now they're going to be able to do their ad targeting much more efficiently with that. Interested if you have any comments or thoughts on that. I mean, obviously this sort of targeting is along the lines of what you do in a different way.
Right. Interesting. I'm trying to think that I used to actually follow what technology they're using for their targeting. I know Blue Lithium does, but I don't know them intimately, so I'm not sure I have much knowledge to say about that. And I think it's certainly a direction that Yahoo needs to go because if they can't maximize spend for their, you know, when company XYZ comes and says we're going to spend, you know, $100,000 on a test, it's incumbent upon Yahoo to make sure that they're spending that money as efficiently as they possibly can to maximize results for their client, or they're going to go somewhere else. And I think the extent that Blue Lithium will help them spend that money more effectively through the different analytical tools, I think that that Yahoo and their clients, quite frankly, win.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good deal. It means that Google's going to have a hard time competing with it, in that sense, that the eCPMs on Yahoo should just go up.
You could think so, but I think that's our last conversation, and I'm going to say again, I tell as many people listen to me as I can, because, and you can say that Larry said it to you way back when, I think Google, eventually, the competition is not Yahoo, the competition is Yellow Pages. And I think they're going to the Yellow Pages business, and I think that's what it will be 5 years from now. And I would not be surprised if they actually even bought one of the Yellow Pages companies. Because Google Local is where they make the most money. It's not the national targeting, it's the local targeting. That's why the Yellow Pages business has been so good for so many years.
And who will be Google's competitor in the Yellow Pages industry?
It'll be Yellow Pages himself. And I know there's several of the AT&T owned Yellow Pages, for example. R. Donnelly owns Yellow Pages. And I think that they'll wind up buying one of those for the Yellow Pages, for the local sales reps and all the rest of it. But that to me is that's from what I see, from where I stand. That's where Google is going to expand. Again, it's Google business, not my business, but that is a perfect application of their technology.
Targeting advertising for all of the small businesses all around the world.
Correct, around the world, starting here in the U.S., is where, you know, obviously they started, but through local advertising, that's correct. It just makes sense. They've already won the hearts and minds of everyone based on the quality of the results, and now for them to increase their revenue, I think they need to get more granular, and that's the way to go after it. An agency will make our job more interesting too. So we can make national advertisers appear local. That's great. And since we're doing it on a cost-plus basis, the more they spend, the better off we are as well.
But you'd only be working with national advertisers in that case. I mean, you can't work with that many small local advertisers at the same time, can you?
No intention of it. But what I'm saying is we can take national advertisers and make them appear local.
Right.
As if that is specifically for this market. I think that the advertising becomes more effective at that point.
Yeah, makes sense. That's pretty much everything I can think of to ask you. I'm wondering if you have any comments you'd like to make or any other things you'd like to tell us.
No, I think the only thing I'd like to reemphasize is that, you know, we've talked about, you know, can make more money back 5-10 years ago, can make more money today, and my answer to you was there's more money being spent online today, but I think that the playing field has become more level because you know, it's become more mainstream, if you will. I do think that if I'm told you I'm 47 years old, and the next generation, if you will, I think is going to be not advertising through email, the advertising through text messaging, and that's where I really hope and plan to bring consumer base, so that we're one of the main players in that market, because that's as far as I think I'll be able to take it. That is what's going to happen over the next 2, 5, or 10 years. And I think that's going to be the next major shift or change in how technology affects advertising. I think that we're you know, it was offline and offline were two separate and distinct animals before. Now we're bringing those together. Text messaging is not part of that group right now. I think you're going to see text messaging brought into that as well. And so all three mediums are going to be working much closer together in the future, and that's the direction of consumer base, I hope.
So consumer base could become a company very much focused around text messaging?
Not text messaging, but sending out very highly targeted advertising through text messaging. And again, we can't do that, though, if we don't have the website capturing the data, if we're not sending out email to the data that works. So think of it this way. We can capture your postal, email, and cell phone number. We send out a reports 2007 mailing to learn that you're interested because in health insurance offers. We can then take that information that sits in our database, and to the extent that you clicked on a health insurance offer through reports 2007, and a health insurance company comes with and doesn't want to text message to people living in your state who are your age who have clicked on health insurance offers, we can send one directly to you.
And so the publishers listening, if they have a lot, they're generating sign-ups every day, this is something that you could build into their sign-up process.
Absolutely. But build your sign-up process, but I believe the key to be successful and the key to selling to the people that they want to be selling to is capturing them correctly. And in that, there's no legislation out there right now that tells you how you need to do it, like Handstand does for on the email side. Just make sure you have some sort of double opt-in process that you can, you know, that you can say this is how we're doing it. Everyone who's there will be receiving emails, if they text messages, to the extent they want to stop receiving, we made it very easy for them. And sort of apply the canned spam rules to text messaging. And I think you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that logically makes sense. So we talked about a number of different areas. What kind of people do you want to have contacting you, and for what kind of stuff?
Well, great question. Anyone who's in the data sales business right now and who is looking for new opportunities should definitely contact us, number one. Number two, anyone, any company out there who has a brand, who has a product to sell and is interested in testing text messaging should contact us. And anyone interested in generally using our digital agency services should contact us as well.
Cool. Okay. And then is there anything else you'd like to add in closing?
No, it's been fun. Thank you very much. It's always great talking to you, and I hope that you can get something started with a group of us who can get together and share some of our ideas across the table and see what relationships we can form.